Hey, and welcome to the Points to Paradise podcast, where we discuss all things travel-related, travel inspiration, and credit card points and miles. I'm your host, Megan Lanford, a stay-at-home mama, vacation lover, and small-town girl who learned how to travel for nearly free. Me and my family went from taking maybe one vacation a year to over 6 trips in a year. I want to show you exactly how to make you and your family's travel goals come true. I want to show you that traveling to dream destinations is possible without ever having to worry about how much money it'll cost you. So if you're ready to be inspired and start traveling with your family for nearly free, you've come to the right place. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. I am so excited to have you here today because we are talking about a really interesting topic, a little different than what we normally talk about here on the show, but we're talking about how to plan a trip using your human design. And we also have our first expert here on the podcast, Madeline Evergreen. She is a human design expert. And if you don't know what human design is, we are going to touch a little bit on that today here at the podcast. But if you really want to dive in, which I highly recommend you do, go ahead and check out her podcast, The Beginner's Guide to Human Design. I will link it here in the show notes. She does a great job of just step-by-step going through it. It can be a little overwhelming when you first dive in. There's a lot of aspects to it, but she does a great job of breaking it down. So if you're interested in what you hear about today, definitely go check out her podcast. But today we're going to talk about how she recently planned a trip to Paris using her human design and how she just made it more effortless and easy. I know for a lot of you, planning can be very overwhelming, exhausting, and even can even like put the trip off and maybe you cancel it because it's just so overwhelming, especially with points. So she made it so much easier and I can't wait to have her share everything about her recent trip to Paris. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Madeline.
Oh my gosh, Megan. Hello. And thank you so much for having me.
Yes, we are so excited to talk about this today. So give us just a little overview on you and how you got into human design.
Wow. The long story could take hours. We'll go through the kind of the short story, but there's a lot to it that led me there. Pretty much, I grew up with a lot of health problems, and that led me into a career in nutrition and fitness, and I still had health problems, which led me into diving into things like breath work, which really helped, you know, getting into my emotions and my energetics and my nervous system. But I still had a lot of health problems, which led me into becoming fascinated with manifestation. And I began to see pretty big life changes once I started learning about manifestation, also known as like digging into my belief systems and rewiring my limiting beliefs or fears or, you know, underlying subconscious stuff that was holding me back in life. And then that led me into learning about human design, which completely exploded my health in the right direction and changed my entire life for the good. And I am just a completely different person from learning human design. And what human design is actually a blueprint or almost like instructions for who you are as an individual. So when I got my hands on my own human design chart and I began learning how to interpret it and read it, and I worked with a professional and then I got training and I really dug in, it was like I finally got my hands on my own user manual for me or my own blueprint. And I began to stop doing things that don't work for me, that everybody else does that works for them, or everybody else says I should be doing, or I see it works for one person and not for another. I just eliminated behaviors and habits and lifestyle choices that didn't actually align with me at my deep energetic level. And I started doing things that my chart said does work for me. And honestly, everything worked out. My health improved about like 90%, if I could give it a number. And just everything changed. And so it turned into my entire career. And it's my whole life now.
That's amazing. And I love how it's so unique to each individual. And like you said, we've been taught how to manifest things and how to get what we want. And they're all standard across the board and it doesn't work for everybody. So I just love how individualized it is.
Yes, it's super individualized and it explains a lot about, where maybe you should get your motivation from. Like, what should motivate you? Is it fame? Is it success? Is it fun? Is it helping people? Is it money? Is it something else? And when people struggle with decision making, like I've been an incredibly indecisive person my whole life, it helps you to understand exactly how you should make decisions. How does your brain work? What are the signals that you're on the right track? What is a signal that you're on the wrong track? And what's so cool and a little frustrating is that we're all different with that decision maker. So, your mom makes decisions one way, you make decisions another way, your husband and your best friend and your child, they all make decisions different ways. And it's something that it's very difficult to try and teach each other that, but your human design chart will actually just tell you, listen to the voice that sounds like this, that will always be correct for you. So it really gives you like a leg up in life.
Yeah, it really, really does. So, if someone was interested in getting into human design, learning about their chart, where would they want to start?
Well, I would recommend that they start with episode one of my podcast, which you brought up earlier, so people can just find the Beginner's Guide to Human Design. And if you start at the beginning and listen in order, it's perfect for people who know nothing. But you could also just quickly look up your chart on a website. There's tons of free websites where you can find your chart. The one that I love and that I recommend everybody use is called myhumandesign.com. It's not my website. I'm not associated with it. I just think it's great. And then you'll see this chart with all these shapes and lines and numbers and arrows, and it won't make any sense, and that's okay. And there will be a very brief description on the side, very brief. And oftentimes that brief description is so validating and it sounds like, oh my God, this sounds like me. And if you like that and it feels intriguing to you, then you take that information and again, go to my podcast and I'll explain much deeper what all that stuff means in plain language that you can actually understand. And then a lot of times people will book a one-on-one session with somebody like a human design reader. That's what I do, but there's also tons of other readers out in the world, hundreds, thousands of them. So find a person that you like and that you enjoy their energy or you trust them and book a session with them if you're wanting a lot more like of a fast track to learning.
Yes, there's lots of different aspects in human design. It can be overwhelming. So, which aspects of yours did you use to start planning that trip to Paris?
Mainly something called my authority. So there are all these different definitions or these different aspects of a chart that you learn, and the authority is like your decision maker. It's that voice inside that you should actually listen to make a decision. And you know how we all have all these voices in our heads, and you're trying to decide something, and you're like, well, I should do this because it's logical and this makes most sense, but my heart is telling me to do this other thing. But this other voice in my head is like cringing at everything, and I kind of don't want to do it at all. And do you know what I mean? Like, have you ever had that experience where it feels like you just can't figure out which voice in your head to listen to?
Yes,
Yes.
absolutely.
So, and it might not actually sound like voices. Everybody's different. It might be sensations or thoughts. Like it doesn't have to be a literal voice, but you get it. There's like indecisiveness. And what that is actually you can actually look at a chart and have somebody explain to you where all those voices are coming from and what their point is and their purpose. And they all actually play a role. However, there's one part of each of us that's like the big boss or the decision maker or has the final say. And that's called your authority. So I happen to have an authority that's called sacral. Nobody really needs to know that if you're new at human design, but essentially what this means is that when I'm going to make a decision, I have to feel a full-bodied sensation of a hell yes, where I might even get physical sensations like butterflies in my stomach in a good way, or my face lights up and I might smile, or my eyebrows, or I might physically lean forward and open my palms or turn my feet that direction, or I might just feel like this attraction or desire or selfish need to do that. And it oftentimes does feel a little bit selfish. It's not logical. It's not emotional, really. It's not just like a black and white, like mysterious voice in my head that says yes or no, that makes no sense to me. It's none of those things. It's for me, body sensations, body language I catch myself doing of leaning in or turning that way, or I feel an attracts me, want to scream and say hell yes to that. For me, or for anybody that has a sacral authority, if you feel a maybe, or if you feel a no, but it sounds great, it sounds like a good opportunity, or Jenny told me I should do it, like that's a no. It's just a no. So almost everything for someone with a sacral authority is a no until it feels like a full-bodied hell yes. And I was really trained in life to make a lot of logical decisions, like most people in our culture, you know, make smart choices. And when that comes to travel, that was like really, really blocking me and my husband. And what's interesting is that my husband is the same as me with the authority. We both have this sacral authority, but we're two different humans, so we have to listen to our own. And we had been wanting to go on a big European trip ever since the first time we had a conversation. It was like the very first thing we ever talked about. And I had never been to Europe, and it just never happened. And we've been together for about 7 years. And what would happen is that we would say, okay, let's plan a trip to Europe. Oh, I think it sounds great to go to the beach because, like, logically, I know I love the ocean and, you know, sunshine and all of that. So let's only look at beach places. And then we would start getting into these shoulds. Well, we shouldn't go there because it's expensive. Oh, we should do this because, you know, it sounds good on paper, or everybody says that this is a great place, or we shouldn't do this because it's touristy. Like, we had all these shoulds, and it would end up so frustrating. And for both my husband and I, we've learned in our human design charts that when we experience the emotion of frustration specifically, it's a sign that we're making an out of alignment decision. It's wrong for us. So frustration for certain types in their human design chart is like a red flag for you to stop and go a different direction. And everybody can find that out in their chart. There's something called a not self theme, where there's a specific emotion or energy or feeling you'll get. Like, some people it's anger, some people it's bitterness or disappointment. And when you feel that feeling specifically for your design, it's actually really helpful. Instead of just being frustrated or being upset, you go, oh, wait, this is a sign from my higher self or from my body or from me saying this isn't right. And so we didn't know any of this years ago. I didn't know about human design at this point when we were trying to plan these trips. And so we would just get frustrated, and then we'd kind of bicker, and then we just never went on a trip. Like, it just didn't happen. And I'm sure that you come across a lot of people that have the same thing, where they try and like plan a trip and it's so frustrating, they just don't do it. Is that what happens with a lot of people?
Yeah, it happens a lot. And I have a lot of people who say that it's just overwhelming. I don't want to do it. I don't even want to think about it. And they put the trip off for several years, or they have like a lot of points in their account and they've earned all these points, but they're just so overwhelmed with even trying to figure out how to use them that they put the trip off also.
Totally. Yeah, that's like exactly what was going on with us. And so what we decided to do was look at this, you know, potential trip as an opportunity to actually practice our human design, which means for both of us, it's a number one priority that every step along the way needs to feel like a full-bodied hell yes. And if it's not, we need to say no to that option or take a break and come back later and try again. So it took us a while, like a few months, to plan this because we had to take a lot of breaks and because we were really tuning in and we were saying no to a lot of things that logically might be a yes. And for example, we initially started planning this trip to Italy, and initially felt like, okay, it's a hell yes about Italy. We know enough information about it to know that it feels really good and we're attracted to that option. But then we kept having these huge challenges. Like, we literally could not find any Airbnbs or hotels that felt like a hell yes. They were all like, eh, which we know for us is a really bad sign. That's not necessarily a bad sign for all humans. everybody's chart is going to explain that differently. But we know for us, if something is a maybe or it just is like, it's not a good idea to proceed. And so we were really struggling to even find anywhere to book to stay. And we got completely overwhelmed with where even to go in Italy, because it all sounded good, but not quite right. Like Italy in general sounded amazing. And then we were trying to get to the specifics, and it was like roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. And we just couldn't get like a hell yes to a certain place or a few certain places. And what's interesting is we kind of ended up accidentally pushing through that and just being like, it'll be fine. We'll find a place to stay. It'll work out. And then day came for my husband, Chris, to book the flights with our points. There comes the points. And all of a sudden, I kid you not, it was going to be basically free for us to book with our points. And all of a sudden, it was going to be thousands of dollars. Like the points no longer applied.
Oh my goodness.
And it was like, all right, it's a no. Yeah. Like he was like, we could do this still. We could just not use our points, I guess, and just pay. And I was like, oh, well, that's a hell no. Like that is not a hell yes for me. So I guess we're not doing that, which for so many people would be frustrating. But for us, it was like, great. Okay. We've seen these signs along the way of like, we can't find a place to stay. We can't really nail down exactly where we're going to go because none of it is like landing as this immediate hell yes. And for us, like, we just know that means don't proceed. And again, that's not true for everybody. That's what your human design chart is going to explain to you how it looks for you. So we dropped that and I said to him, okay, right now, I want you to spend a half an hour finding a handful of places that we can just fly to with our points. And I want you to present to me all the different places that we could go. And that's where we're going to go. We're going to start with that. And if it feels like a hell yes, it's going to be that. So he looked, he spent like 20 minutes doing this. And then he's like, all right, we can go in and out of Paris completely free. Here's the dates. What do you think? And I was like, I feel it in my body. I feel this hell yes. I feel the attraction. I feel like I'm smiling. So do it. Just book it. That's what we're doing. And what's amazing is that I never would have logically ever chosen Paris. And we went for 2 weeks. I never would have picked 2 weeks in Paris, logically. It's not that I don't want to go to Paris or I don't like Paris, but it's not like me to book that sort of trip. And it took me just trusting it's here for a reason. It's going to be great no matter what. I feel the hell yes. And so does my husband. So that's what we're doing. And then along the way of like booking the hotel, and we also had an Airbnb, we stayed in two places and we had to make these decisions. It just kept feeling like it's a hell yes. It's a hell yes. Book this, book this. And when we got there, it just felt so synchronistic that we were there. Like it just worked. It was amazing. It was perfect. And it wasn't anything I ever would have planned logically. It was hard for me to book or to plan that way because it's kind of out of my comfort zone, but it's also in my nature at a really deep level that I needed to just sort of trust and access. And it's so cool to see how it worked out.
That is so amazing to hear how you like came to the location of where you guys went, because so many people are either really indecisive about where they want to go. And so they keep their points for so long because they just can't make a decision, or they have this place locked in and they're going to do everything possible to make that work and to be more open to whatever is available to take you. It just makes the trip, like, I don't know, so much more worth it. I bet when you were there, it's just, you knew that was where you were supposed to be.
Totally. And I noticed along the way, like after we had booked Paris for 2 weeks, I kept having this fear pop up that was like, all around, like it was such a scarcity mindset fear where I was like, this is my one and only chance to go to Europe and we're only going to one city. I'm insane. We have to reschedule. We have to see as much as we can. And then I was like, what? I'm saying that out of scarcity. That's ridiculous for me to think that this is my one and only chance ever to go to Europe. And it doesn't feel like a hell yes for me to be feeling this scarcity. So that's not authentic for me. That's a fear popping up that I need to clear. It's not truth. Now, yeah. I have to say, there are other types of people, according to human design, that kind of thinking might actually serve them. So this is why it's so helpful to learn human design, because what I'm telling everybody is I'm not universally right that nobody should listen if they have a fear pop up. I'm right for me, according to my chart, and it's helpful for me to learn that, because otherwise I might listen to that fear because smart people would say to listen to that.
And, yeah, and you really need to listen to yourself when it comes to the planning, because maybe the way your friend planned their trip is not the way that you should be doing it for you.
Definitely. Yeah.
So when you were in Paris, what did it like exceed your expectations, since you weren't really thinking you were going to go there? Or how did you feel like once you were actually there?
Well, what surprised me about being there is that I learned a lot about myself. I learned that my favorite thing about the whole trip was getting to speak French. And I don't speak French. I know like 10 words from planning for this trip. I love languages, but I don't know French. But that was honestly my favorite thing, was just practicing saying bonjour and using, you know, whatever little phrases they use, and trying to read signs. And that was like everything to me. That made every activity fun. It made every moment interesting. It made me feel like I was present and I was really observing the culture. And it made me not really care if I'm in Paris or a different city or what, because it's not really about that. It was like, I didn't know how much I love just trying to communicate with people who don't speak English or barely speak English. And I never knew that about myself because I haven't done enough international travel to experience that. So it's like, okay, that's kind of an odd thing to say that's your favorite thing about a vacation, but it really was. That was like endlessly fascinating for me. And other than that, with Paris, what I found really enjoyable was observing the way that Parisians are. I couldn't get enough of noticing what they wear, how they dress, especially the children. The children act so different than American children, and it was fascinating, and it was so inspiring and made my mind just open up to so many different possibilities. I also have a big history of struggles with food and digestion issues and, you know, food sensitivities, and I was able to eat pretty much everything there, which is a miracle. If you know me, I have not had gluten in 17 years, and I had it there and it was fine. And to experience that for me was deeply moving and made me realize that I may actually want to move to Europe purely because I can eat there. Not that I don't like America. I actually really love America. I'm like a big fan of America, but that was moving for me.
And that's the great thing about travel too. Like, we talk about this a lot here on the podcast, of just like opening up your horizons and being more adaptable when you're in different countries, and like having your kids adapt as well. And so to hear that you were able to go over there and experience this by making the planning process easier is just so amazing.
Yeah. And we had like zero pressure. We had, when we flew there, we had our hotel booked, we had our Airbnb booked, we had one restaurant reservation booked that we ended up canceling, and we didn't know anything else that we were going to do. We had a bunch of ideas, but we just decided we're going to get there and every day we're going to just do whatever we want. And for the most part, we just want to feel what it feels like to live in Paris. I highly dislike tourism. Like, if I have to stand in a line or be in a crowd, I basically lose my mind, which was funny to me. Like, that's a reason why logically I wouldn't book a trip to Paris, because in my mind I'm thinking, well, that's all there is to do, museums and tourism. And people kept telling me that, like, what, you're going to go to the most popular tourist place in the world and you don't like tourism? And so it doesn't make sense, except for we did a couple of those things and really learned, like, yep, we don't like that. Good to solidify that in. And most of what we did was like walk around, go to the butcher shop, go to the boulangerie and the fromagerie, and just be there, be present, go to the park, go to the gardens, eat in our Airbnb and cook. And that just was, it just was moving. I don't know what else to say. And I learned so much about myself and potentially what I might want to do with my future.
Yeah, that's amazing to get so much realization in one trip. So from going before human design, about knowing about human design and trying to plan this trip and getting frustrated and like bickering, to the actual planning process using human design, do you think you'll plan more trips and go on more trips now that you have figured this process out?
100%. Absolutely. Because it feels more like a game, and it's actually fun planning now because it's a practice of my design. And my husband, he understands all these things too. And so when we're planning and we're in kind of the frustrating parts, it's actually not frustrating because it does feel like a game. And when it gets frustrating, we know what to do. We know, like, okay, this just means that the option we're considering is a no, or we need to take a break and just put it out of our minds and not do this out of any sort of timeline or scarcity or panic to make it perfect, and just come back when we're ready to have fun with the planning.
Yeah. So going forward, do you have like any bucket list destinations in mind that you really want to go to, or are you kind of just open to figuring it out as you decide, maybe we want to go on a vacation, let's figure it out from here?
We do have a bunch of ideas. We really want to go to the Mediterranean. So specifically like Portugal, Italy, or Spain, or maybe Greece, maybe Croatia. And we started looking into it again, and immediately both got frustrated, and we both had this sense of like, it's not time right now, like today, to plan that or even worry about it. And we both had this sense that that's just actually going to happen. I don't know how, but somehow we're going to just end up going there more seamlessly. And it's not really for us to try and force. And it's this weird just knowing that we both have. And part of it is this frustration we keep having when we talk about a trip there or try and plan it. And that's like exactly what happened before when we were trying to plan a trip to the Mediterranean. But we both have this other idea that we really want to go to like maybe Costa Rica or somewhere in South America and have more of a like a rainforest or beachy experience in like the jungle. I've never done anything jungle like before, and neither has my husband. And that's felt seamless and easy and almost like, oh, the stars are aligned. Like we could just book that almost anytime. Our points are really working in a lot of places. We also have friends and family that would want to come with. And that sounds more fun to us right now than just a couple's trip for some reason. And it feels easy and exciting to consider planning that. And it feels like the Mediterranean thing, for some reason, we're getting this frustration. And we both just feel like that's just going to work out when it works out. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I love that approach too, because I know in the points world, a lot of the times you hear like you have to book your trip a year, 2 years in advance and make sure you find the right redemptions. And there's like these bucket list places that everybody goes to and stuff. And so having more of just like this, it's going to work out. We're going to go where we need to. Like the points will be available for the trip that we're supposed to go on. And it just makes it, just talking about it makes it sounds so much more enjoyable. And I want my listeners to enjoy the planning process just as much as the vacation, because it really does make the vacation better when you weren't so frustrated for months trying to plan that trip.
Totally. And being open-minded to the fact that the planet is gorgeous almost yes. everywhere. And just because a place is like a bucket list in your mind or everybody loves it, there are a million more places just as beautiful or more beautiful than that that you can end up in if you just follow kind of like your own intuition. That's a vague thing for me to say, but in your human design chart, follow your authority. And like, for example, my mom has a house. She has two houses. She has one that's in absolutely the middle of nowhere on the bluffs in Iowa. Hands down, the most beautiful place I've ever been in my life. And you would not think like the middle of nowhere, Iowa, is somewhere anybody would want to go, but it's unbelievably gorgeous and serene and stunning. And it, you don't have to go to the place that you're clinging to, like, I don't know, like on a specific safari that everybody knows of and everybody goes to, or Rome, or, you know, these places that people talk about, Ibiza. But what if there's so many more beautiful, incredible, synchronistic places on this planet that you just didn't think of because you're clinging to one idea that everybody else says is great?
Absolutely. There is beauty everywhere you go, and you can always find something beautiful about the place you're at. So thank you so much, Madeline. This was such a great conversation. I hope this helps you in your planning process. If someone wants to work with you and dive more into human design, just let us know where we can go real quick.
Yeah, the best place to find me is over on Instagram at healthy_Madeline. And you can also visit my website, madelineevergreen.com. And there's tabs up there at the top of the website with all my different offerings, human design, and different types of things I do. So you can book through there if you want a reading. And my podcast, The Beginner's Guide to Human Design, over on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Thank you so much, Madeline. I loved this conversation, and I hope you guys all go ahead and check her out because she is really great at explaining human design. So thank you for tuning in, and I will see you in the next episode.